Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur on this Monday morning in Oxford, Mississippi at the Duck South Studios. Joining me on the other end of the line, Bradley Ramsey. Bradley, you back?
I made it back. They finally let me come home for a little while. I came back. I brought the sunshine with me, Rocky.
How much snow did y'all end up with out there in last week? Because y'all, I kept watching all that and kind of western.
We didn't get too much of where I was in Oklahoma. We went through some really weird weather there for a while. We had ice fog a couple of days and thunder sleet. But on the snow side of it, we got about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches in some spots where I was in central Oklahoma.
Huh. I kept seeing it on the Weather Channel as I watched our forecast last week with all the rain that was going on. Jeez, man.
Oh, it's been nasty down here, man.
I'm wondering what would have really... See, we got an additional 6 inches on Friday and Friday night.
Yep.
And there were parts of Mississippi that would have gotten the rain that we got up here... Because we had the same amount as a lot of those places in central Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
It could have got bad around Grenada, Charleston, Greenwood.
Yeah. I'm afraid we're not out of the weather on that one. Excuse the pun, but, you know, some of this stuff is starting to fall, but it ain't got nowhere to go. Big River is up. Floodgates closed in Vicksburg. We're still going up. We're going to be, well, yeah, right now the forecast crest is about 6 foot above, 4 to 6 foot above flood stage. So, you know, this sunshine maybe will give us a chance to get this water coming down a bit before the next round of rain comes. But we got more coming this weekend, or late this week.
And the crest on the river is not supposed to happen to what, March? What did you say, March? Did you say it? March the...
I don't remember what the exact date was, but I know that we're still, for the Mississippi, we're still a little ways out on that crest.
Yeah, I think in Arkansas City, last I saw it was March 5th, but I'm sure they've updated that forecast now.
Yeah.
That's kind of the one I keep up with.
March 14th in Vicksburg.
What's it going to crest at?
51.5, that's 8.5 feet above flood stage.
What is that below the record?
I don't have that in front of me right now, but it's close to the 2008 flood. They're already closing 465 up to Eagle Lake. There's a lot of stuff already being closed down. We're nowhere near 2011 high water. But you know, I hope the Lord takes care of us. But you know, right now we haven't dealt with snow melt yet. And there's more rain coming to us and north of us. The stuff that hits us is bad enough for local folks, but it's, you know, it's when it goes up from up the Ohio River Valley that it really gets concerning, because Ohio has a higher volume influence on the lower Mississippi than the upper Mississippi River does, actually.
Yeah. There's been a lot of snow the past 2 or 3 weeks up there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bad timing for a flood. I mean, you know, there's never good times. No one ever sitting around going, "Wow, we should flood right now." But we got a lot of snow north of us, and we got more rain coming. So, you know, I hope everybody stays as clear of the path of this stuff as we can, and I hope our levees hold. It's just, you know, it's one thing when the river rises and you're not catching the rainfall, but when the rainfall's happening too and your levees are getting saturated from both sides, it gets scary.
What's scary is what's coming up today with Rob Groom. It is Monday. So, Rob,
Lord,
in just a minute. I don't know what he's going to say. I just said that.
Because you never
were scary. Hey, you know one thing I saw pop up on Duck South this morning, and don't mean this in any kind of slight in the way that I'm saying this. I know this. Scouts out there, Scout is definitely pushed out. Because where he is lost, there is nothing. It is water up to the highway on both sides.
Yeah, if that dog's out there, he's either become a squirrel or he's grown, he's grown waterproof feathers and webbed on his feet. I hope they find him. I hope some miracle happens, but there ain't nothing but water up there where that dog got lost.
Yeah, that's what kids, you know, they've grown accustomed to looking for Scout as we drive through there every time. And anyway, they asked me yesterday, Dad, do you think Scout is out there? I said, if he is, he's in a tree.
Exactly. Be up there with all the possums and everything else that don't swim full time for a living.
Man, I tell you what, it has got deer pushed out. The number of deer that's gotten hit right through that area because of the water.
Woo. Yeah, this is unreal. This is a tough time of year to push these animals. For those of us that turkey hunt, it's a really scary time of year because these hens get pushed up to high ground and it makes them much more susceptible to predators, or they get pushed to the levees and, you know, those things get mowed once they're let, you know, their eggs are laid, and it's a tough time wildlife wise for flood to happen, because you're gonna have fawns coming on, you're gonna have turkeys trying to lay. It's a precarious time for wildlife. We can see pretty significant effects if this water doesn't get down out of here on our local wildlife.
Well, I wouldn't do justice if we didn't talk about the interview that happened this weekend on the radio, because it was being talked about on Duck South and in other places. I'll tell you this, I hadn't listened to a single second of that interview yet that happened with Flyway Federation's Josh Goins, DU biologist and Dutch waterfowl biologist.
I listened to it. I got up early and listened to it.
I was kind of surprised. This is what surprises me. I thought that somebody was actually setting up where in a fashion where these people could talk to one another. What in the world did it help to, give these guys a platform? And I may be wrong about this, but they gave DU and Delta Waterfowl 45 minutes to talk.
Between the two of them, yeah.
And then after they went off the air, Josh Goins came on the air from the FFL. Here's my whole deal with all of this. Okay. Nothing against personal against Josh Goins. Nothing against what he has to say. My problem with all of this, and the same thing that happened in the Big Honker podcast last week, because a lot of people said, man, why don't y'all get Goins on there? But no, I'm not letting him spew his crap on my air. No, would never.
Yeah, you know, not having anybody there to refute or to counterpoint what he says is a mistake. Because, you know, he continued to rattle off stuff that's just not, either he misunderstands or he's just making up. So he got, you know, Delta and DU got 15 to 20 minutes each, maybe 30 minutes each, and then he got to just sit there for an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes and just say whatever he wanted to say with nobody challenging except for a few call-ins.
All right, so coming into this, you know that one of his main points that he screams everywhere that in 1998, some behind closed doors, the Migratory Bird Treaty was changed some kind of way.
Right.
Okay, you know that as a host. You know that that's one of the main points that he's going to first talk about. Why not just do 5 minutes worth of research and look that up and see if that really occurred? And even you as a host counter back at that one, because that is a load of BS. It is the biggest load of BS that's ever been preached in Washington.
Yeah, and you know, excuse me, and you know, of late they started to retract that and say, well, it wasn't changed so much as it was they misinterpreted the intent of it and they didn't go by the spirit of the treaty, so they're crawfishing on it. But, you know, those questions weren't even asked to the DU and Delta guys, and it's not their place to have to defend the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Migratory Game Bird Treaty Act. But, you know, nothing was challenged. Nothing was, you know, he was just allowed to, you know, say, make up or, you know, use the data that he says he collected. And if anybody offered any counter, he would just say, well, that's not true. And then the host would roll on. So it was very one-sided, you know. But, you know, okay, whatever. It's a... You know, I'm so done with it, Rocky. I mean, I've got, you know, I get so many personal attacks and emails and messages and stuff from people wanting me to defend who I am and what I do for a living and this, that, and the other. And the reason I'm getting attacked is because I point out where they're wrong.
I still, for the life of me, understand this radio station was down in Louisiana. It's the home field advantage for Goins.
Sure.
Radio station out of Louisiana. Here's the one that gets me. The guy's from Big Honker.
Yep.
How do you not go after this guy? You're some of the most respected people in waterfowling. You know a lot of this crap he's saying is BS. How do you not go after him? How do you not call him out? How do you not do any research before the podcast of what he's saying and how to refute or give a dissenting point to what he's saying? At least, why just give somebody an open platform to just blab and blab and blab? Okay, you don't believe in flooded corn. Great. You know, some people do, some people don't.
Well, you know, I don't understand that myself. I mean, you know, as a former journalist, I think there's a certain amount of responsibility you have. And that's gone in our media today. Not just in, you know, in radio call-in shows and not just in podcasts. It's across all of our media. Nobody wants to do the hard work and dig up the facts first. They want to get a shocking and sensational topic and hope to gain listeners that way. And that's not a journalist's responsibility. And, you know, as I said, as a former journalist, I take that responsibility pretty seriously. But it's not a code of ethics that runs through journalism today. By and large.
Whew. No, not at all. Sometimes you have to ask a tough question.
Yep. And, you know, like I said, you know, like you said, you know, okay, so you don't agree with flooded standing crops. That's fine. But do the research. Find out what the law actually is. Find out, you know, if the law was actually changed. Find out if, you know, if the numbers and data that you know are going to be coming at you are real. And challenge that. I mean, you would gain more respect from your listeners if you actually come to it with data and facts and science than if you just, you know, claim the moon landing's fake, which is all I can equate it to.
You know, I don't agree with everybody. And Bradley and I don't agree all the time.
Nope.
Goins and I disagree. Here's what the people think that I have something against Goins. You know what? There's actually a few things that Goins and I actually agree on. But you know, let me give you a little backstory to this relationship with Josh. He and I talk back and forth multiple times. It was during turkey season because Patrick was down here. The last communication I had with him. And there's a lot of stuff that Goins and I agree on that a lot of duck hunters would actually agree with him on. But, you know, if this was a war and we're going to war with our battle flag, you know, in the, like in the old days, line across there and you march under a flag. That's who you represent. Well, that is the first thing in their order of business is doing away with flooded corn. Look, there's some other things that could be done that could enhance waterfowling more than doing away with flooded corn.
Everybody wants the easy button, and it's easier to blame than to actually work on the hard things that would change, you know, waterfowling.
But anyway, I said, so is this really, I said, you know, and I told, I'll tell the people that's listening this, I said, what you're doing is admirable. I think, you know, doing an organization like this needs to be out there and hold people's feet to the fire. Because as we all know, when you're dealing with the federal government or any kind of government, if there is a problem, getting them moving on that problem could take 5 to 10 years.
Absolutely.
So there needs to be somebody holding these people to the fire. Because I can guarantee you this, the people at DU aren't going to hold them to the fire because guess what? How much money are they getting from the government? They're not going to say anything that's feeding them, giving them food. And am I saying they're corrupt? No, I'm not saying they're corrupt. But anyway, back to the Goins. I don't want to get into that. That, like I said, there's points that he and I agree on. But this is the battle. This is the battle he wants to fight first. It's like being in a war. And, you know, you got to get soldiers just a little ready to go to war.
Yeah.
Choosing to fight the biggest battle first, probably not the best decision. You don't go land on the Japanese coast and expect to win to start World War II. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, there are some very small areas for me where some of their,
But they never talk about them. They never talk about the other things. You and I both have had communication with him. There's other points.
Yeah.
But all of his little followers, that's all they talk about. Flooded corn.
Oh wait, now Rocky, you didn't hear the one of them talking about the floodlights the other night, did you?
Oh, get out of here. I saw something about that. Is that really true?
I don't know. If any club manager's doing that, turning on floodlights over flooded crops at night. First of all, why would you want a roost? Second of all, are you dumb enough to think that a duck can't see at night? I mean, to think that you can turn on floodlights over a field and all of a sudden you're going to attract all the ducks in the world to come to your flooded cornfield. I mean, come on. But let's get real. I mean, I try to, if I'm scouting in the late evening, I don't run the lights on my bike. Why would I turn a floodlight onto a field? But that's how ridiculous it's gotten.
All right. Let me give a story to back up what I'm about to say. As crazy as this may sound. About 7 years ago, my wife and I were joking about it the other day. And that's kind of how I went back to it. About 7 years ago, I was riding in the truck with my father-in-law. And he's one of those intellectuals that there's no sarcasm in life. There's no joking in life. If you say it, it's for real. So a lot of times, I pull his leg. It's fun. A lot of fun. So 7 years ago, we're going down the road. And like in most Delta towns, the service stations have been taken over from foreigners. Correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't dispute that.
All right. So, one of the ways that a lot of these foreigners like to attract people into their store is they put these bright LED lights around their windows and their doors. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it.
The whites, the reds, the blues. I mean, they are very bright LED lights. Ooh, what I'm about to say may get me in some trouble. But we were going down the road, and just to pull his leg and see how far I could pull it, I told him, I said, listen, if you ever go by a gas station that has those LED lights like that, that's those people, that's a sign to the Al-Qaeda Brotherhood that they're representing Al-Qaeda. So if things go down, they know to go to that store.
Oh.
He said, no, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. I said, no, I'm for real. I'm 100% for real. So my father-in-law was a coffee shop man.
Uh-huh.
Coffee shop, 6 o'clock every morning. My father-in-law proceeds to tell everybody about the Al-Qaeda lights. He convinces everybody that's what those lights are for. I start hearing friends of his that I barely know, you know, saying this. Somehow, some way, I hear that all these people that he hangs around with saying that's what those LED lights are for. So, why do I tell you all of that? All right, here's the thing. For years and years, you know, when duck hunting, when you had slow years, what was it, probably 2000 or 2001, it was a rough year.
Yeah.
One of those years was a rough year. I can remember when the DU feeder truck story started. It started around
that time. Yep.
And so people started to run with it. They're feeding ducks in Missouri. Heard it for years and years. Well, you say something so many times, it almost becomes fact in your mind.
Yep.
Oh, DU's planting millions of acres of corn in Missouri. Well, you pound away, pound away, pound away, pound away. It becomes fact. It becomes a fact to you.
Yep.
And in the same way the Al-Qaeda lights came about, I think that these laughable jokes of why duck hunting is bad became back to a lot of people in South Louisiana. Progressively, but duck hunting has gotten a little bad each year. But instead of looking at internally your own problems or main things that drive migration, you blame it on something else. You know, just like this whole flooded light deal. I'm sure somebody said, hey, you know, ducks are feeding at night. They heard a podcast saying about ducks feeding at night. They become nocturnal. So somebody made up to an intellectual or somebody not so smart said, hey, man, I saw this guy turn lights on at night on his place. They're feeding the ducks at night, and that's a signal to get them in. Some guy like me, just joking around. But it became fact to them.
I mean, like I said, Rocky, if somebody's doing it, and I mean, people do all kinds of stupid stuff thinking it's going to help ducks. If somebody is doing it, I can't understand how they think in any way possible that it's a benefit to them or to the ducks. I mean, but, you know, it could very easily be somebody said, oh, yeah, well, they turn on them floodlights and ducks just pile into it. Okay. Yeah, whatever, fellas. You know,
somebody like
that far,
me, I'm telling you, somebody like me, in the same sense as the Al-Qaeda lights, made that story up. If you're listening to this and you believe that somebody turns floodlights on a cornfield, you're a freaking idiot.
Well, yeah, this guy, he saw it himself, and he knows all his buddies do it. That's, you know, okay, whatever. You know, back when the DU corn truck, you know, conspiracy was going on, I challenged a bunch of people. I said, look, every single one of us, even in that day, have camera with us on our phones. If this is happening, take a picture of it. Show me a photograph. It's the same thing with people saying, well, you know, I know a farmer's getting paid by DU to leave his crop. Like, okay, show me the receipts. Show me the letter. Oh, well, they wouldn't show it to you because then they wouldn't get their money. Our federal government can't keep secrets locked up. You think a group of farmers could?
Oh, my gosh. Basically, here's my whole, another one that came up, you know, because I listened to the Big Honker podcast, the one with Goins, but he was talking about DU coming in and doing all this work on people's land. Get out of here, dude. Get out. DU, one of their arms is to do consultant work to provide habitat for ducks.
Yep.
You see it all across the nation from top to bottom. They have some of the best waterfowl biologists in the world.
Well, yeah, and the part about some of those that I've been, you know, in the background dealing with is people saying, oh, well, you know, they come in here and they tell these landowners to plant this or plant that. You know, most of the consultations they do is they provide the levees or structures so that they can build an impoundment. They don't come in there and tell a farmer, well, you need to plant corn at this depth and this date and this. It's the landowner's choice what they do use for habitat. It's not a mandate from any organization. And that's what bothers me is these people are saying, well, I'm going to tell a landowner what they can and can't do with their property that's perfectly within the law and always has been. No, we're not that country. You don't get to tell me what to do on my land. If it's within the law and I do it on my land, it's none of your business.
Here's the other side of that equation about the WRP deal. I challenge anybody to come to get in the time machine and go back to the Mississippi Delta pre-1995.
Okay.
Tell me how many millions of acres of habitat that flooded in Mississippi alone that is gone forever because everything drains. You've heard us talk about it hundreds of times that drains now.
We haven't replaced a fraction of a percentage point.
It is the pimple on an elephant's ass is what it is. It's what we've replaced.
Yep.
And you think that WRP, the people are flipping it and putting it into flooded corn? Get out of here. I'm like, Rob Kroom, get out of here. 5%? 5 or 10%? If you put 200 acres in WRP...
not even 5% of the 200 acres, it's 5% of the floodable acreage. So, you know, usually about 30% is floodable on a WRP contract. So that's where the numbers get so messed up. You know, it's not, I'm going to use an example of a piece of property I work on, 1,800 acres. Of that 1,800 acres, at full max pool, we can probably hold 500 acres of water over an 1,800 acre piece of ground. So of that 500 acres, then only 5% of that could be put in food plots, and only 5% of the total that could be put in food plots can be corn. We don't plant any corn. So the number gets so small that it's not even a pimple. It ain't even started to be a pimple yet. It ain't even got to be a whitehead yet. It's just kind of a, hey, that feels a little different. it's so insignificant, it cannot possibly have an impact. But people want to believe YouTube is reality and social media is fact. And what a terrible time for our society if that's what people want to believe is fact. They don't want to do their own research. They want to listen to talking heads who spew nonsense.
Here's the thing with me. I had two people message me last week from FFL. FF, whatever they call now.
Yeah.
But two people messaged me that I was friends with. I am no longer friends, and they have blocked me because I call the FFL a cult. I ask you, if you're here listening to this podcast, convince me otherwise. Convince me differently, because here's the reason. the soldiers do exactly what the leader says. Now, if you're friends with some of these people, you see, hey, your friend made a comment on such and such post. You may not be friends with the original poster, but you see it because your friend made a comment, right?
Right.
Well, I see multiple of these people making comments, and they're going to different places and starting the same argument. Ducks Unlimited doing a waterfowl migration report in Missouri. Well, if you go in there, you'll see somebody get started an argument. Hey, the Canada geese don't come to Louisiana anymore.
Right, right.
Larry commented on Jimbo's post over here. Hey, the geese aren't coming to Louisiana anymore. It's the same argument started simultaneously. And it's like it's given in orders, and all these soldiers going out, this is the argument that you start this week. That's cultic.
It is. And, you know, it's gotten so bad that I've actually had friends contact me in the background that said, wow, I just got banned and blocked, and I've never commented on their page. And when I asked about it, I was told that it was because I'm friends or associated with you. So now they are blocking people who just know me or are friends with me. How insane is that, Rocky?
It's pretty bad.
I mean, like I said,
I'm not calling it a cult. I'm just saying it's cult-like. It has the characteristics of a cult.
You could just about, cut and paste any argument they come back with and trace its origins, and it's all the same sentences. Like they've got a hot sheet of talking points. Here's the talking point for this week. And it's verbatim. It's a waste of energy, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of focus on real resources and what could be done to improve duck hunting for everyone around the United States. And
I'll end it with this. Bradley and I have done multiple podcasts where we've said changes that can be made in the short term and the long term to affect duck hunting positively.
Yep.
I know that you people aren't going to believe this, but Goins, in his 12-point program, 10 of those he's listed are in agreement with us. I know Bradley's probably falling out right now that him and Goins actually agree on something. But it's true.
I don't know if I'd go to 10, but there are points that we could agree on. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably 8. And that's I'm being truthful.
Right.
Because a lot of the things that he believes we've talked about on this podcast that could affect duck hunting in short term and long term positively for the success of hunters. And
I can't get behind any organization that wants to take rights and ducks away from somebody else just so you can have more dead ones on your strap. It's ridiculous.
At the end of the day, just like Bill Cooksey says, flooded corn is the pimple on an elephant's ass. That's the truth. You know what? You want to change it. Go after the other ones.
Yeah.
It really can affect duck hunting positively for everybody.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Bradley, enjoyed it, brother. Great, great talk. I think people will... Dang, Rocky. They walk away. Red Rocky, he is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll hear about how, that's not what you said before, and I'm going to quote you from 1936 when you weren't even born, but, whatever.
Bradley, I enjoyed it. Great
enjoyed it, Rock.
Of the podcast. Thank you for taking a few minutes to join me. And man, you always get me fired up. Something. You don't even say anything, you get me fired up.
I am the root of most evil, I guess.
Hey, but just remember the Al-Qaeda lights.
Al-Qaeda lights?
LED? Yeah, that's Al-Qaeda. Don't shop there. You're supporting Al-Qaeda.
Hey, I'm going out to find my floodlights and my runway lights for my duck sanctuary.
All right, brother. I enjoyed it. thank you again, Bradley. But we need to get to that interview with Rob now. All right, guys, like I told you at the front end of the podcast, it is Monday. It can only mean one thing. Let me calm down from that opening. Mr. Kroom.
Hey, yo.
Hey, one thing I like to ask you last week, how's the neighbors?
Neighbors pretty good. You know, we got some other developing things going on here, but the neighbors are pretty good. I think they finally got all their leaves swept up.
You hadn't ran through them again anytime, have you?
No, I haven't been able to. They've been kept up. I guess they're done with it. I don't know. I guess they finally said forget it if you're going to knock them back in the yard every time.
I saw the weather report on Saturday. Man, I was watching that storm. And a couple hours later, I saw your weather report you put on Facebook. And it got bad up there, truthfully, right?
Yeah, it did a little bit, but, you know, there's always some overreaction. You know, some things like some of these people, whether it's male or female, they get really, like, anxious and tore up when there's storms around. It doesn't really bother me that bad. I don't know why. I mean, a hurricane bothers me because you got to watch it for, like, a week and a half, you know, and you're like, is it going to hit us here? Is it going to hit us there when I live down on the coast? That's because it just builds up over and over. Like a tornado, I mean, wherever it's going to hit, it's where it's going to hit. I mean, you can't do nothing about it. You can't run from it. Especially when you got people chasing them. Those guys are, wow, they got to be glorified hole runners. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. We had a little storm there, a little ominous looking sky. I decided to do a little weather report. I should have been a little better prepared, but I did the best I could.
Hey, there's two other things that I'd like to talk about last week. One, of course, I went to the NWTF, but one of the things that I took with me to the NWTF was your storage box full of T-shirts. I mean, I've got a container of Greasem Outfitters, Farming for Ducks, and, oh gosh, just one more T-shirt in there. I can't remember. But anyway, after all that rain last week, I had to take the storage container out of the truck and put it in the back one day. I said, it'd be okay. This thing's airtight. So I look back there Saturday morning, T-shirts are floating. Yeah. So I want you to understand, when you get this container of T-shirts, and my mama, she was so freaked out yesterday. I said, Mom, can I throw these T-shirts in your... I was down a couple hours away. I said, can I throw these T-shirts in your wash machine? And she said, sure, that'd be fine. And she said, how many is it? And I said, it's 20 or 30. It's a lot. So when you get them and they smell like Gain, they haven't been worn.
Yeah, I just hope you didn't shrink them because, I mean, I'm not getting any skinnier.
You know, she said the exact same thing. I'm sitting there folding them up yesterday.
Well, maybe hopefully there's some 3Xs in there. I'm fixing to lose some weight in turkey season, though.
Who ordered the child? Who'd you order the child the medium for? The medium?
Man, I don't know. There's no telling, dude. There's no telling. Probably Chirpy.
All right, so the second part of my question about the NWTF that left off last week. All right, so I come back. It's raining. It's pouring down after the NWTF. I said, look, let's just drive. Let's get to Jackson. We left the NWTF at 5:30, so that puts us in Jackson at 7:30, right?
Yeah.
I said, look, let's just get something in Jackson. There'll be, you know, plenty of places that we can eat. We get there. We can't find a seat in a restaurant in Jackson, Tennessee. When in the world did Jackson, Tennessee grow to the point that it is?
Well, here's what happened.
It's got everything.
Yeah, we have more restaurants per capita than anywhere in the world, but here's what happened. In Jackson, when you have a weekend, you get all the people from all around Jackson. You get all the Chester County, Henderson County, Lake County, all the Dyer County, everybody flocks to Jackson to get that Olive Garden on Friday and Saturday. So what happens is, like, Outback and all those restaurants like that just get completely just hammered. So you got to kind of know where to go on the weekends if you're going to do it. But yeah, it gets very, very crowded. I don't know how, because we got more. I'm telling you, we have so many restaurants here. It's insane.
How'd you know to say the Olive Garden? I mean, we actually stopped at the Olive Garden. It was a 2-hour wait.
Because I know. I mean, it's like an ongoing joke here. Everybody flocks there. There and Outback and Longhorn. If you think you're going to Longhorn on a weekend, you have lost your mind, buddy. Look, this is not a joke. My buddy of mine works at Outback. On Valentine's Day, they open 30 minutes early, which would be like 4:30, I guess, or 4, whatever it is. There were people outside the door lined up waiting to get an Outback at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. 4 o'clock. He was taking pictures through the blinds. He was sending us all pictures. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? She better be a good woman is all I can tell you. It's crazy how many restaurants we have here, and they're all full all the time. I don't know. It's crazy.
Do you think the Olive Garden or Mexican restaurants can make it without their free appetizers, or will they shut down?
I'll be honest with you, Rocky. I've only been to Olive Garden one time. We got a really good local restaurant here, Spaghetti Store, and so I go there. But I'm not a big Olive Garden Red Lobster kind of fella.
I don't even think Olive Garden's in my top 10.
Now, Spencer told me Olive Garden is number one.
No, it's not number one. It was number 3 that night in Jackson, Tennessee. But it's the free salad that gets you in there.
So many good choices. You should have called me. I guess you were still mad. Y'all were still mad about the prank.
No, that was pre-prank. That was pre-prank.
Oh, yeah, it was. I forgot. That was. Yeah, I forgot. Spencer took me to Olive Garden one time in Memphis. It was a joyful lunch.
So Spencer is an Olive Garden man, huh?
I'm not sure. I mean, me and Spencer have eaten a lot of places in Memphis because we're both healthy young men. But the rest of the places we've had for lunch have been a lot better. So I don't know if that was just a spur-of-the-moment deal or if what the deal was. You'll have to ask him about that, if he even remembers.
Oh, Rob, I'll say this. After spending 3 or 4 days talking about you on the podcast last week, I will apologize in public. Because I think that birthdays are important. And I think the people that help push Duck South are important. So I say it to all the world that's listening to the podcast. Happy birthday, Rob Groom. Last Thursday.
Yeah. No, it wasn't last Thursday. It was
Wednesday?
Last Tuesday, the day that the prank was pulled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was Tuesday, the day I decided to unleash the hounds.
Oh, happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
And Rob said, after I posted the happy birthday to Spence yesterday, he's like, uh-huh, I see who your best friend is.
Well, it was like on 4 platforms. It was like Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, I wish y'all would follow me. I'm trying to like get over 500 followers. It was like on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, the internet, the group message. I was like, Jesus. Wow.
Me? I mean, I didn't post it on 4 different places.
Oh, it felt like it. You did wish me happy birthday, though, on my birthday with a simple little post. No cute picture or anything like that, but you did do it. And so I shouldn't be too hard on you, but it was funny because you had, like, you like Photoshopped Spencer's picture and all this and took all this time. And I mean, it hurts the rest of the group. I mean, we have feelings too.
Yeah.
You have to keep that into consideration. We have feelings. We have feelings as well. But it's okay. I mean, everybody has their favorite child. I get it. I mean, I get it.
I'm wondering how many texts or calls that Estes's mama got yesterday.
I don't know. If I would have saw her number, I would have called her for sure. I didn't think. I may call her today and tell her I'm sorry. I thought the birthday was today.
You need to.
Yeah, text me the number. I'm going to call her. And it's something special about February birthdays, you know. And you got to think, like, if your birthday's in February, like, February in general sucks. Like, you got Valentine's Day. Nobody gives a crap about that. It's the biggest waste of money and time ever. It's usually always freezing cold. You know, since, like, it's a short month. It doesn't get the respect. Like, who came up with 28 days and leap year 29? Really? Can we not just give it a full 30 days and call it, you know, like, 367 days a year? Like, it gets the short end of the stick. So if your birthday's in February, you get rap cred for sure. You know, I mean,
so
think
Estes,
about it. I mean, like,
so let me tell you this. So Estes posted on Facebook yesterday a picture of his mom, said, "Hey, anybody, please text, anybody that sees this, please text my mom, tell her happy birthday." She looks good at 80. Well, his mom is really 71. So I text her. I don't guess he thought that anybody would text her and say happy 80. And I text her. I said, "Happy birthday." I said, "I just cannot believe you are 80. Damn, you look good for 80. I said, "But anyway, I hope you have a great day." And he said, she texted me back. She said, "Thank you so much, but really I'm 71. I said, "Yes, ma'am. I really hope you have a great day." I said, "Your son put me up to it. I think you should get a switch after him, even though he is a good friend."
I can't ever tell Estes' age. I can't tell if he's like 18 or 67. I mean, I guess it gets clouded up with all, like, we get so many good pictures in that group that I have a whole album of Essie's pictures. And so, like, if I ever need a picture of him, I've got it, like, right here, boom. And so I can't tell. I mean, I want to say he's probably 35, but it seems like he could be 18 or 96. I have no idea. And, I mean, I feel like we're close enough now that we should know each other's birthdays and, you know, all our little information about each other. But, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to just ask him today, find out exactly what the deal is. But he said his mom was 80. I was like, "How old are you? Was she happy when she was 64? I was trying to do the math. I was like, "Dude, she must have had you when she's like 57. That was incredible for back then." So I don't know. I don't know how that happened, but God bless her for being his mom. Jesus.
Let me let people know this. If you think this Mondays with Rob is entertaining, I'm going to start posting screenshots of our group message that contains Estes and Rob giving him hail. And Estes, you know, he gives it back some. I'm not going to lie. It's good.
It's my favorite pastime, him and Patrick. It's just so fun. Like, I mean, Patrick, for totally different reasons, but me and Estes got our little, like, Ole Miss Mississippi State thing. And so we always got that going. And he's at, like, all the games. He's like the mayor of the outfield club or whatever. And so it's so fun. Like, I enjoy it so much. I don't do it near as much as I should. I think I'm going to start doing it more.
So you think but you could possibly is Estes a suspect in the voyeurism case on the balcony?
He knows who it is. Knowing Estes, he's probably mad about it for some weird reason. He was mad about the beer shower thing, which I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Like, that really goes to show you. But anyway, I bet he's for some, in some weird reason, I bet he's mad about it. He probably won't admit it now that I said that, but I guarantee you when he saw it, he's like, that's they shouldn't be up there doing that. I loved it. I mean, you know, I told you last week, I thought it was great, but I don't know. Taking my kids to the Ole Miss Tennessee basketball game Wednesday, and to say that's going to be interesting is an understatement. So we'll see how that goes.
Will you kneel during the national anthem?
Oh, God. Here we go with this.
I'm not getting into that. I want to cover a different part of this with you.
Okay.
But go ahead. And I know your answer is no. All right. So I'm coaching my kids' basketball teams Saturday. The last game ended, I guess it was 2:30, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Right when the office game started.
So the church is right on University.
Right.
University Avenue. You walk out of the gymnasium, man, there's police everywhere.
Yeah.
They're lining the streets. I think everybody was called into duty on Saturday. All right. So
absolutely.
The Grand Teton that's leading this march down the street. Some of you that's listening to this have seen pictures or video of this guy. I think he's from Memphis, somewhere like that. He has a Memphis number. Anyway. So, as I'm walking out, this guy's leading the pack. And I didn't know that until I saw his picture and video Saturday night.
Right. Yeah.
But the guy that's leading this march is wearing a Mississippi State hat. Do you think it's conspiracy to think it's Mississippi State fans coming up here causing division?
Well, I mean, here's my deal, okay? When I was in school there in the late 90s, they did this every year. This is not a new thing. They've been doing this crap for, whatever, 30 years or whatever it is. I don't even know, probably longer than that. But this has just been like the first year that I know of that got so much publicity. Like when we were there, when I was in school and they would do it, we'd just laugh at them. We'd be like, whatever, dude. Y'all have nothing better to do on a Saturday than to go down here and like scream, hell yeah, rebel pride and all this stuff. Like, whatever, man. Go home and get laid. But I don't know. They've been doing this forever. So I was kind of shocked at how much publicity it was getting. And then when the kids knelt down, oh my God, whatever. But you know, it got so much more press this year, and I have no clue why, but anybody knows that's been to school there, been down there a bunch, they do this, like, once or twice a year. So it's not like some, like, oh, my God, this is some new thing. And all they want is attention. And so they got everything they wanted. Like, that's all they care about. They don't have anything better to do in their life but to get attention from acting like idiots and trying to, like, break down all this stuff. And the school's come so far in the last 10 years. I know our mascot sucks. I know it's the dumbest thing ever. And we look like idiots. I get that. But from where we were when I was in school there, recruiting-wise and athletic-wise, to where we are now is totally different. And it's a lot of that has to do with how they changed some of that stuff. Am I a fan of all of it? No. But it's the way it is, and it's the way you got to do it now. I mean, you're in the SEC. You're getting paid, you know, $20 million a year for being in the SEC. You know, do what you got to do to, so you know, try and be somewhat competitive and do, you know, try and do what you got to do. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, all these goobers want is attention. They live in their mom's basement. They have their rebel flags and their KKK hats hanging on the wall. She cooks them meatloaf and spaghetti. That's all they get to do. Like, that's what they look forward to. It's the big deal. So the only way they can get the rocks off is to have attention, and that's exactly what they got. And by them getting attention led to the kids kneeling, which they don't know. They're kids, man. They're 18, 19, 20. They don't know. One of them probably said, hey, man, let's kneel because the guys, the KKKs are outside or whatever. They don't know any better. I'm not saying it was right. They shouldn't have done it, but they don't know. It's not like the coach told them to do it. And so you got these booger-eating idiots out there, you know, protesting. And then you got the students that actually, like, they don't have anything else to do either. They're in the band, and they're out there yelling at them, and there's cops and everywhere, and horses back. They're on horses, all this crap. And it just causes a big old scene for nothing. Now you got Dan Walken commenting on it. He's the biggest booger eater that's ever lived. And now look what we got. Just for nothing. Now I got to go to the Tennessee game Wednesday and watch us get beat by 47. And my smallest twin is a Tennessee fan. I'm going to have to hear about that crap the whole way home because they're mad that they've lost two games in a row or two out of three. We've been playing like crap. We're going to get killed. And everybody's going to be talking about the stupid kneeling. That's all I'm going to hear. All I want to do is go down there, have a drink, eat a good meal, go to the game, and come home. And now what? And I'm surprised the SEC hadn't hazed me about that, but it's probably his freaking fraternity brother that was leading the charge. So whatever, man. That's how I feel about it.
Hey, I wanna play this out for you real quick. Get your comments on it. All right. So the people that love to talk about Ole Miss being a liberal, politically correct school are Mississippi State fans. Are Mississippi State fans agree or disagree?
Agree.
All right. Now. But anytime something like this that happened Saturday, the march, whatever it was, they're the first ones to yell, look at those racist people.
Yeah.
But in turn, I think all three groups are interrelated. I think they're all the same. And here we go, Mr. Mississippi State himself leading the charge at the march Saturday. And if you don't believe me, go look it up. This guy is a full-fledged Mississippi State fan. He said that – I'm not going to repeat the things that he said and what he said Mississippi State fans believe. Go look it up for yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, every fan base has some idiots. Everybody knows that. But it's almost like everything we do, we're under a microscope with them, and we got to hear about it on Twitter and what idiots we are and all how we're not – I mean, for God's sakes, man, can they not find another school to compete with, like Delta State or Millsaps or something? Can they not find anybody else to worry about besides us? I've never seen a group of individuals that are so concerned with somebody else in my life. It's like the Real Housewives of Starkville. All they care about is what we're doing. That's all they care about. It never ends. It's unbelievable. And they're not all like that. I've got friends from down there that, you know, whatever, we're buddies, hang out and fish and hunt together and all that. But golly, if you follow Twitter only and follow the Mississippi State kids and the Ole Miss kids, you would think for sure that we're the only thing that they're concerned with.
Rob, not wrong. Let me tell you something. For those of you that don't get on Twitter and see what's going on, yesterday after the game, one of the Mississippi State beat writers, Mississippi State just won a baseball game on a walk-off double. And yet they ask about Ole Miss players kneeling at a basketball game.
Yeah.
Just a little obsessed? Just a little? You just won a huge game. And you're asking for more opinions from baseball players at Mississippi State on Ole Miss kneeling? Get out of here.
Well, you know, like the 2 weeks before that, they were mad because they said we were leaving the game early at the basketball game. Do you remember all that? But they were showing clips from the pavilion when people leaving when the game was over. And they're like, oh, all their fan base is leaving the game early. And so, like, for the next 2 weeks, everybody was trolling them about leaving the game. What do you do after the game? What, are you going to sit around and hang out? We have better things to do in Oxford than to sit in a freaking gym and talk to each other. Makes me so mad. Like, I do not understand, man. I don't get it.
Here's the one that's funny to me. For the past, up until the pavilion was built, one of the things that they love poking Big Brother about was Tad Smith. It leaked. It leaked water. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter Saturday. The hump started leaking.
Don't get me wrong, the Tad Fab was horrible. I mean, I bet Esty's mom went to cheerleading camp there in 1946. I guarantee it. We got to find out if that's true. We got to ask Esty's if his mom went to cheerleading. I guarantee you she went to cheerleading camp there. I went to baseball camp at Mississippi State when I was 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. I mean, I know she went. I'm asking him as soon as we get off the phone. But, yeah, I don't know. I love it that it's leaking. They're, you know, whatever. Maybe they'll get, you know, their endowment will cover another place they can build over there in that awesome, awesome metropolitan that the school's in. But anyway, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
The greatest quote ever given – hey, let me tell you this. The greatest quote ever given about Tad Smith Coliseum was by John Calipari. One of the media said, "Coach, you sure do come down to Tad Smith and win a lot." He said, "You know, y'all made this place like it's your home field, home whatever you call a basketball court, home court advantage." And he said, "Yeah, we really have. But man, you got to watch those squirrels in the locker room." It was awesome.
Oh, see, man,
that right there is how your big brother. A lot of people want to say, "Well, Ole Miss, why do you consider yourself big brother to Mississippi State?" Because we're able to laugh about ourselves.
That's
when
what I was
screw
say.
Up.
It's so funny that people take us so literal, because somebody said on Twitter the other day, they're like, "Oh, it was Brad Logan," or whatever his name is, the beat writer. He was like, "Man, the inconsistencies in this basketball game is like nothing I've ever seen from Ole Miss." And I'm like, "What? How long have you been a fan? Like, that's all I see is inconsistencies. I've never seen a consistent team in Ole Miss history." And then I start thinking about I start laughing. Somebody posted on Twitter yesterday, "You remember when we were playing Arkansas in baseball? This has been about 10 years ago. And the dude threw the pitch inside, and the Arkansas player faked like he got hit in the elbow. Do you remember that?"
Should have won an Oscar.
It should have won an Oscar. He got all. He ended up getting tossed from the game and everything. But what I thought, the first thing I thought was when I saw that is, holy crap! Has there ever been two teams that play each other with the most ridiculous endings to games and just ridiculous games than Arkansas and Ole Miss ever? Is there ever been? I mean, because you never know what's going to happen in those games. I mean, they're like our. I mean. We're their Achilles heel, they're our Achilles heel. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the records. Like, they should – the stuff that happens in the contest of athletics between Ole Miss and Arkansas need to be documented. There needs to be a 30 for 30 on it.
Oh, man, that would be great.
But, I mean,
that'd
just
be
think
really
about
good.
It. Like, just in the last, like, 10 years. I mean, I can go back to when I was in school. We had the 7 overtime game. Hell, I was there. I mean, everything. I can think of like 20 things that's happened in that whatever you want to call it, our series, because we don't consider them. I don't even know who our rival is. We don't care. We're used to losing and being the laughable loser, so we don't care. Like, when people make fun of us, it's funny because nobody cares. We know we suck. We're used to it. That's why we drink so much.
I gotta ask this, though, Rob. I know we talked about 7 overtime game multiple times, but how many times really and truthfully did you get drunk that day?
At the
Peak Valley.
Okay, well, let me tell you, I think I've told the story on here, but let me give you the short version. So, this girl I was dating from Lexington, Kentucky, was with me, and I was drunk that morning and then got sober and then went to the game and got drunk again. And I had one of those floppy flasks that you could put around your back. And we're going to the game. I had one of my buddies from out of town with me, or that didn't go to school there, whatever.
Hold on.
I got to get
a flop. Oh, whoa. A floppy flask.
A floppy flask. Like, it got pretty tough getting into the student section. This is before we had the south end zone. We were still in the west side or whatever it was. And so to get in the student section, it was like a long-ass line. It was just two lines. They didn't have like 8. It was 2 lines, and it was like a half a mile long. And so you had 30 minutes to get your liquor hid correctly, or you were done. Like, sometimes you'd have a date that would be cool with it and hide it for you because they didn't check the girls near as bad. And then sometimes you'd get through, like, I don't know if the cover security guy just didn't care that day or was like, whatever, this kid's going to get drunk regardless. But anyway, so I found this flask on – this for the internet, I'm sure. I found this flask. It goes on like a backpack, and you put it on your back. and it holds like a fifth of whiskey at least. And when they patch you, it feels like, you know, they don't feel it. It's like an IV bag full of liquor. And so I had that, and I had another fifth on either with her in her purse or something. I can't remember. She's always pissed at me anyway. So we get in the game, and my buddy on the way in, he didn't have a ticket. And I was like, I got to get you a ticket. I told him, I was like, if you come to the game, I'll get you a ticket, whatever. And so I just figured I'd get a student ticket or whatever. So anyway, there's this guy selling tickets. He's sitting down there by the line. He's like, look, I got an extra ticket. It's on the Arkansas side, but it's on the sideline. And I was like, holy crap, this is perfect. So I'm like, dude, here. I know it's expensive, but here's the money. I paid him like $100 at the time. $100 for me was a bunch of money. I gave him $100 for the ticket. Gave it to my buddy. I said, look, you go for the first half. I'll go for the second half. And he's like, all right, cool. So he goes down there. Meanwhile, my girlfriend is so pissed at me. She's screaming. Like, I'm like, Aaron, just chill out. Like, what is wrong? What is going on? She's like, we're leaving. I was like, okay, bye. So she left me. So at this point, I'm completely wasted, and I'd already sobered up twice at this point. So my buddy comes to get me, and I completely forgot he was even there. And he was like, you want to go on the field? I can get us both down there. I made friends with the Cobra guy, and I'm like, yes. So we go down there. Of course, we're on the sideline for like half the third quarter, and they kick us both off. They're like, y'all can't be down here. Y'all are too drunk. Like, get out of here or whatever. So we got kicked out, went back to the student section. This was like probably starting the fourth quarter. The game went on for another, whatever, 2 hours. And so my girlfriend, Erin, had gone. She went to eat dinner somewhere. I can't even remember. Her and another friend of hers went and ate dinner and came back to the Grove, and nobody was there. I thought it was like the Twilight Zone. Like, I had no idea what happened. You know, there's always like a few stragglers and wives and stuff that don't go to the game. They just sit in the Grove, and there was nobody there. So anyway, when I finally got back to her, she had sobered up and she wasn't wanting to kill me. And I was drunk, so I didn't care what she thought. And that's pretty much what happened. I just remember the next day being like, what happened? Did we win? Like, I remember too, like, I bet on the game. I can't remember the line. I think it was like 3.5. But I remember when it went to, the only chance I had was this Ole Miss scored in the overtime, and Arkansas, they would have had to have scored a touchdown and Arkansas not score for me to cover. So the whole time I'm freaking out because I kept thinking, hey, we scored, we got them now, they'll do something stupid. Never happened, you know. Then we went to the double overtime crap where you got to go for two. Of course, everybody keeps getting it. And so by the end of the game, I had lost my girlfriend, all my whiskey was gone. We lost the game. I lost my bet. No telling what I had bet on it. Probably, I mean, $50, which is like half my allowance for the whole week. So, I mean, there's no telling like what all – I mean, there was a lot of things going on at one time. But that wasn't as bad as the time I got put in the retaining cell against Florida when we beat Florida and took the goalposts out in the Grove. I don't know if I've told you that story. That's a great one. But so that's what happened in the Arkansas game. And me and her, we dated for like a year after that. That wasn't the final straw. I mean, that, you know, we were pretty serious. But thankfully, we didn't kill each other that day. She was there for the Florida game.
Any relationship to make it through a 7 overtime game with peaks and valleys like that.
Let me tell you something. If you could go to Ole Miss and keep a girlfriend for longer than, I don't know, let's just say 4 to 6 months, or let's just say a semester. If you could keep a girlfriend for a semester without getting in serious trouble with her, you are a seriously badass dude. Because there's no way. You can't do it. And this is before Tinder and Facebook and MySpace and all that crap. We had to go to the bar and get chicks, you know? We had to actually, like, go, like, get girls to go home with us. We couldn't, like, get on Tinder and be like, swipe up, like, you know, you actually had to go do something and talk to somebody and not type or send dictures or whatever.
Gosh, oh my gosh.
You actually had to work for it, you know? You remember those days. You couldn't just, I mean, can you imagine if we had Facebook at Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
You had to go to the bar and actually make up, hey, man, my dad is the leading neurosurgeon in the state of Mississippi or in the Southeast right now. I mean,
You have to say stuff like that, to get them to.
Funny you said that. We were at Sardis my freshman year, like before school started, and we had like a huge party out there. And I told this girl that my grandmother owned North Face, and it was the worst mistake. It was the worst mistake I ever made. I never did that again. From then on, I was just like, yeah, my parents just, you know, my mom works in a restaurant, my dad, like, whatever. I'm here on scholarship. Like, it was a horrible idea. Should have never said that.
So, the one that I had most success with was my family was the largest plantation owner in the Mississippi Delta. Now, I could back up that lie partly because I knew, you know, all my family farmed. And I know a lot about farming. I've been around it since day one. But I could back that one up with semi-facts. Not the part about me being the largest plantation owner in the Delta, but it worked a lot. Because women love, man, I don't care from the best-looking girl at Ole Miss to the best-looking in Mississippi State. They for some reason, they're attracted to the large plantation owner.
Yeah. I mean, what a beautiful place. Like, there's nowhere in the world that you can go and have access to that many hot chicks at one time besides, like, Fort Lauderdale and Scottsdale, and they're all older. I'm talking about you got 18 to 23-year-olds all in one place. The town's about as big as a horseshoe, and you have them all right there. Unless you're a complete idiot, you cannot not have a hot girlfriend or a hot date. You can't do it. Even the ones that are not hot are hot everywhere else. There's no way you could not do it. And I don't want to hear Estes calling me and saying, we got hot girls at State, blah, blah, blah. That's like saying, this is what I'm going to say. If you duck hunt in Arkansas, you have better chances to kill ducks because there's more there. There's more ducks that fly there. It's a fact. The same way with Ole Miss, there's more hot girls there. So you can say whatever you want about your place in East Tennessee that kills 500 ducks a year, but the bottom line is you see 600 and kill 500. It's the same thing. Oh, by the way, I need to give a shout-out to the FFL guys. They're bigger idiots than the Klan people at Ole Miss.
You know, the fire was just about to go out from the opening of this podcast, but go on and just dump just a little more gas on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the FFL guys are exactly the same as the Klan members. They have no clue what they're doing. Time has passed. Like, they're just making stuff up, acting like just complete moron. The stuff that they're putting out there, I would be so embarrassed. Like, at some point, like, the crusade has got to end. Like, I get it, buddy. You thought you were onto something. We had the worst year in however long. The average temperature in Arkansas was 13.6 degrees higher for January than it was in the previous years. It was the third hottest winter ever recorded. The third. So, I get it. What happens next year when it gets cold and everybody kills the crap out of them? Well, then what is he going to do? Is he going to stick to his guns?
I mean, they'll still probably not have any ducks down there.
Probably not. I mean, I guess the worst-case scenario, you can always go join the Klan guys if you need some attention.
Oh, look, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm predicting it right now. You can give me some odds at the end of this when I say this. I think that Goins has got a lot of confidence now built up after going on two shows that didn't ask any hard questions. Very, very soft, which, you know, knowing what he's spewing, I would have probably been prepared and asked him some tough questions knowing he was coming on my show. Now, saying all that, Goins has got confidence right now. He's going to end up going on the wrong show. Somebody's going to ask tough questions. He's going to get pissed off, and he's going to show his wild side, and it's going to be over. Now, what's the odds on that? 2-1? 3-1?
I wish he would come on Mondays with Rob. I mean, I just, you know, if whatever, man. Yeah, no, it's not going to be much longer. As soon as we start getting, like, hatch reports and stuff like that and see what the weather's going to be up on the prairie, I mean, up in Canada and all that, then all his little fairy tale crap is going to be gone. Who has the time to do this every day? What does he do? Like, does he, how does he pay his, like, what does he do? Like, how does he make money? Because there's not, he has way too much time on his hands coming up with this crap. I don't know. I just think that it's going to be funny when it happens, and I hope that I'm not blocked so that I can watch it or listen to it or whatever. It's going to be epic. Somebody's going to ask a question, and the dead air is going to be amazing. Woo. It's going to be great.
Mm.
Hey, did you see where our friend, our football pick'em partner friend, Stingray, has gone on sabbatical?
Yeah, I did. He's suing Barstool. I can't believe we hadn't talked about that.
Yeah, he said he was shutting down Twitter for a while. What is it? What's the deal? I'm out of the loop. Why is he suing Barstool?
All right, so they created a meme out of a picture on his personal page.
Yeah.
And he's suing them for taking the picture from his personal page, creating the meme, but against any future or present losses. I hadn't talked to Stingray. I need to text him and ask him what the heck's going on. But see, I saw where he announced like 2 or 3 weeks ago, hey, I'm leaving Twitter and Facebook. And then,
yeah,
like a week later, he announced that he was suing Barstool.
Well, there's been a ton of material that has had him on it without his permission or without paying him for a while. So what, I don't understand what's got him so worked up. You know, he might not have sold that big old condo project he was working on. Might need some funds for that. Get that baby staged. We need to get him on HGTV or something.
We need to get him on a turkey hunt.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That's what, yeah, we need to do that. You need to text him today and ask him if he's all right and see if he wants to go turkey hunting in 2 weeks.
Oh, man. That'd be great. Putting Stingray on a turkey.
Oh, man. It's supposed to be, I mean, whatever.
Can you imagine the post-interview after he kills one?
It'd be awesome. It'd be great. Mm. We got to do it. I mean, I don't see any reason not to, really.
All right, Rob, I got to go. I got to get this up and got to get some other stuff done. I enjoyed it, man. We will get back together next week. And again, happy birthday.
I'll say one last thing. Happy birthday to Jeffrey Estes' mom/grandmother. You're a hell of a woman.
I missed the comment in the group message where he said that the last time she tried to chase me with a switch, something happened. I can't remember what he said. Look, whenever somebody says the last time that my mom or daddy chased me with a switch or a belt and they bow out their chest a little bit, just throw the BS flag right then. Whatever comes out of their mouth next, just throw – You got your ass beat. Just say that.
You know what we should do? When we have the get together, we should have our group message Olympics and have the 40-yard dash, like a cornhole tournament and something else, and just take bets, because I guarantee you Estes thinks he can run under like a 5.5 40, and there's no way. We need to ask him before we post. I'm fixing to put on the on our group text. I'm gonna ask if anybody thinks they can run faster than a 5.5 40, and whoever says yes, that is official. It's happening, and it's going on video. Hell, I'll have the local news there.
This could be the beginning of something awesome. I got a lot of stuff going through my head right now.
Slam dunk contest, free throw contest. Oh, we can have the whole. We can have like a whole Duck South Athlete of the Year.
All right, I got a lot of things I'm about to write down and send to you.
But I guarantee he's going to be the first one to raise his hand and say yes.
I know. I'm telling you, I'm putting it on the group message as soon as we hang up, and I'm going to see what he says.
It's either going to be Patrick or Estes. I
guarantee you, I promise you, Patrick thinks he can. I guarantee you. And if we prove he can, he'll be like, well, I'll just play you in golf. Like, there's no way. He's not going down without a fight. Neither one of them are going down without a fight.
All right, Rob. Enjoyed it as usual. All right, man. Thank you again. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.